An internal HSE audit into the Hepatitis C support group Positive Action has uncovered breaches of corporate governance and inappropriate spending on a range of items, including beauty therapies, dog kennel costs, relaxation breaks, supermarket bills and emotional healing. Just before we came on air, I spoke to Christine Bruton, who was on the board of Positive Action for 5 years before it was liquidated earlier this year. I began by asking her for her reaction to what has emerged in the audit.
Well, primarily, I'm very sad. Positive Action was set up as a support group for women contaminated by the state with contaminated anti-D. At the time, in 1977, there was no test as such for hepatitis C, but the state infected us with contaminated anti-D. It was contaminated with hepatitis C. It was hidden for years that this happened, and the government fought us on it when we found out that it was contaminated and that the blood board had not taken due, did not carry out due regulation. Bridget McColl was one of our founder members who died, and she was fought on her deathbed by the government. So Positive Action continued the hard work to get justice for our members. We duly got some justice, and Positive Action continued to work for the women affected. We had 731 members last July, some of whom have died, most who are seriously ill, some who have liver transplants, some who are not fit for liver transplants. Some of us, as I am, one of the better ones, one of the lucky ones, but I developed antibodies, hence my virus is not active. But some of our women have active virus, and it continues to damage their liver, and their quality of life is very poor.
Christine, you, I think, were a director of Positive Action for 5 years prior to its liquidation. Now, did you know about this HSE concern about the way, I think what they call it, inappropriate expenditure and inadequate corporate governance controls were happening?
The HSE funded us in latter years. And from the time I went in there, I was diligent in Positive Action's accountability, and we were very cooperative with the HSE. But the HSE, before my time, knew of the spending and what Positive Action were spending the money on.
Yes, I think
they approved of the weekends, and they approved of therapies. We're covered for therapies because medically there's not a lot can be done for these women. I'm sad to have to say this on the air. Some of our women are so frightened and so ill, they don't need to hear this. But it has to be said, the HSE were very aware it's the only comfort some of our women can get. Then medically, there's nothing there for them.
And what kind of therapies are you talking about now?
It could be massage, aromatherapy, it could be reflexology. All of these are alternative, I know. Some people may not agree with them, but most of our women find them very, very helpful.
There's a figure there of €100,000 spent on what are called complementary therapies, including angel healing, angel card readings. You mentioned reflexology. There's crystal healing, ear candling, Pilates, emotional freedom techniques, thought field therapy, spiritual healing, and aromatherapy.
Yeah, I know. Well, the alternative to ear trouble at the minute for some people is ear waxing. The angel card reading, our members got solace from this. They got solace. You know, some of our members think they're on the way out. They get solace. Everybody has their own forte.
How was it decided who got to go and to receive those kinds of therapies and treatments?
All of our members were sent out notification, and whoever wished to go applied. But I want to say clearly that our members paid we only subsidised it. The government only subsidised it.
Right.
Our members paid a fee towards the weekend.
And what about things like conferences now? I think there was €104,000 spent on travel to conferences over 4 years.
Yes. Well, the conferences initially here in Ireland, when I went to my first doctor, my first specialist, he told me hepatitis C was a nothing disease. He downplayed it. And this was said to all of our women. Very few of us got the actual truth. Actually, in St. Vincent's, one of our women stood up at a talk from one of the head specialists there, and he said, you know, you'll never die from hepatitis C. And this girl, unfortunately for her, could say, why did my sister die from hepatitis C? This is the junk we were fed early days.
I know,
so
but...
It left us very curious that we had to source our own information.
And so, in other words, these were, and I think the internal audit found that most of these conferences, they were aimed really, they were targeted at highly specialised clinicians. They were for experts.
Yes, but we wouldn't attend those ones. There was ones there for lesser, right? We would not attend the highly specialised clinicians ones.
But the internal audit, it would appear, Christine, identified most of the conferences that the 104,000 were spent on as for specialised clinicians. You would dispute that?
But there are side meetings that go on. There are breakfast meetings that go on that were suitable for us. We could take home to our members what new medicines were coming on stream, what trials were going on at the moment. Hence, some of our women have gone on the trials here because of our reporting back and felt that they, and some of them have cleared them. These were trial testing and have good results, thank goodness.
What about the spending of €19,540 on supermarket bills?
The committee didn't get a wage. It was a voluntary work, but our entitlement was that if we were in the office for a long period of time, we were entitled to food.
And gifts worth €2,223?
Well, some of these I wouldn't agree with, right? But, yes, that did happen. Some of these I particularly fought against in my 5 years.
Yeah, and then dog kennels for 185. Not a huge amount of money, admittedly, but the idea in the first place that somehow that kind of a bill would be paid for somebody. Do you know anything about that?
It was a once-off of a person working for Positive Action, working hard for Positive Action. And this, she had a dog, and that's how it came about.
Now, some of these things, they don't look great, it has to be said. Like $234 for four lobster meals.
Yeah, well, I couldn't comment on that. I'm not sure that it was that. That sounds a bit over extravagant.
And then there was one of $795 on alcohol at a conference about liver disease.
Yeah, well, I disagreed with the alcohol, and in my time, we cancelled out that ever alcohol would go on bills.
And did you raise your concerns yourself at board level?
I did.
What did you think of the general standard of in internal auditing and the way money was spent or the allocation of it was controlled? Were you generally happy with it?
The HSE gave us the money. They were aware of how we were spending it. And they did not question it. They're saying, I think, in their statement that they were not aware how it was spent. They were fully aware of it.
Well,
not fully, they were aware of it.
We'll have to check with them about that particular point. But the other thing I suspect that people may wonder about is, yes, the state perpetrated a terrible deed in allowing those women, several thousand of them, to become infected. On the other hand...
And Sean, might I add, continued to do so in the 90s, knowing that...
Absolutely.
..left contaminated anti-D on the shelf.
Yes, but there's no question about that. But here's the point, though, that may be crossing people's mind. Having done that, the state ended up setting up a compensation scheme, a tribunal, from which I think so far over €1 billion has been paid out to some 3,300 women or thereabouts, with an average payment, including legal fees, it has to be said, of over €320,000 per person. Obviously, some of the figures would be higher, some of them would be lower. So in those circumstances, do you think it's right then that further money should be going on things like ear candling, Pilates, angel healing and reflexology?
Sean, that amount is above average, I can assure you. Some of our women got pittance. They knew no better. Some people were stronger and were able to fight the compensation tribunal and went to the courts. It wouldn't pay anyone the amount of money to suffer what our women have suffered.
Absolutely. And as against that, though, there was a complaint made to the Gardaí about possible fraud in positive action. That is something, I think, which was being perhaps still being pursued, but is one of the reasons why the HSE stopped funding altogether for positive action this year.
I am not sure about making comment on that, but it was positive action was proactive in that. Not the HSE.
In pursuing what might have been malpractice?
I can't say, Sean, because I'm afraid of jeopardising anything that might happen.
OK, well, look, that's perfectly understandable, Christine. Look, in your own case, how did you end up getting Auntie D?
I had my first baby in 1977 at the age of 18. My baby was stillborn. But I had to get the Auntie D to prevent further abnormalities. I went on to be very ill after the baby, a lot of it put down because my baby was stillborn. I continued very sick for many years. My sister-in-law had a baby, we were in the same hospital at the same time, and she was very ill. She got jaundice and developed hepatitis C. It was unknown that I carried hepatitis C because I had no visible signs, but was ill and attending my doctor for years and years and years until 1994, when it came to the fore on the news that there were hidden files behind a filing box that said that the state knew at the time that they had contaminated us. Lots of our women had approached the blood board because one person I know in particular, her doctor had told her that she got it from contaminated blood product perhaps. This was denied and denied and denied. Positive Action fought diligently to get justice. Bridget McCall, one of our dearest and fondest members, fought on her deathbed, and the government fought her, and we all know who was responsible for that, was Michael Noonan. And on her deathbed, she received justice.
And I think Michael Noonan has already, and would be the first to admit again or to acknowledge that that was a mistaken attitude that he adopted her position as Minister for Health. Nonetheless, though, Christine, bearing in mind all of the tremendous work that Positive Action did carry out and the campaign it fought in the teeth of state opposition, do you feel that it's something of a pity, A, that it no longer exists, and B, that its life ended in such ignominy?
Absolutely, Sean. It was a sad day when Positive Action closed down. But our members are needing it more at the moment. They're sicker. They just need the comfort of knowing the support there for them. And as you know, with cuts and everything else, they would be cutting our entitlements. These women should be looked after. They were injured by the state, not by themselves. They're ordinary, everyday women. They didn't injure themselves. We look after people who injure themselves. These women did not injure themselves. They were injured by the state and should be looked after. And I think that the HSE should rethink about funding a support group that did such wonderful work. I know that accountability wasn't totally proper, but it was improving in my time. It was improving from the time I went in, and we were getting there.
Christine Bruton, thank you very much indeed for coming on the line.
Thanks, Sean.
And that was Christine Bruton just a short time before we came on air. She's a former director of Positive Action, serving for 5 years prior to the liquidation of the organisation earlier this year. Catherine Shanahan is health correspondent with the Irish Examiner. Catherine Shanahan, good morning to you. You've been reporting on this now for a number of months. And there were other matters, I suppose, questionable expenditures which have come to light prior to this. But I suppose this is official confirmation in the form of the internal HSE audit.
Yes, well, I suppose there had been some information that came out under Freedom of Information earlier on this year. And in fact, it was the type of information that the HSE said was of such concern to them that they pulled funding before the final audit was presented, which was circulated in the past week. So at that stage, they had enough on their plate to feel that they shouldn't wait for the final audit, and they pulled funding in March. I mean, looking at some of the information that I obtained on the Freedom of Information earlier in the year, for instance, in relation to one hotel, say in Cork, on one particular weekend in February 2013, you had over 7,000 spent on accommodation at the Riverlea Hotel. You had about 700 spent on dining in the Corn Store, a popular restaurant in Cork City Centre. You had another 700 spent in the Soho Bar and Restaurant on the Grand Parade, and another 180 euros spent in Reardon's Bar and Nightclub on Washington Street. And in addition to that weekend in Cork, there was plenty more. It was laid out under their credit card statements. For example, you had a spend of over 1,000 in Clontarf Castle, money spent in the Berkeley Court, La Stampa Hotel in Dublin, South Court Hotel Limerick.
Some of those amounts, Catherine, they're not exactly large, like €450 in the La Stampa Hotel, 200 in the South Court Hotel in Limerick. We don't know, for instance, what the money was spent on, or do we, in the Berkeley Court, €962. They may have been to do with conferences or that kind of occasion.
Well, I think this is where the whole row kind of started with the HSE. I mean, you know, the organisation is there since 1994. It was looked after by the Department of Health up until 2005 when the HSE came into existence. And the Department of Health, obviously, you know, given the history of how Positive Action came into being, given the sensitivity around it, given there had been, you know, so many women infected by, you know, blood products that were manufactured by the state, it was probably, you know, one of the most sensitive groups ever set up. While it was under the remit of the Department of Health, I don't think anyone was ever going to question too much, you know, around the spending that was going on. And perhaps at that stage, you know, it was more accountable. Then it switched over in 2005 to the HSE. And from my understanding, they were basically advised to take a softly, softly approach with this group, given the political sensitivities around it, and given the outcry that had occurred around the unfortunate and tragic death of Bridget McCall. So I think, you know, anyone that was coming into contact with this group initially, there was very much kind of handle it with a kid's glove approach because of the political sensitivities around it. But what really sort of kicked it all into touch then was when the CNAG report that was looking at governance structures about how the HSE funded up to about 4,000 groups that it gave money to. When it had a look at those, it came out with a very critical report saying, you know, we're not happy with the number of contracts that are in place between the HSE and all these groups that they're funding. We're not satisfied with the governance arrangements. You know, you need to put specific service level agreements in place. The HSE would argue that it set about doing that then. And it was at this point that it came into conflict with Positive Action, because it sought certain information in relation to exact receipts as to how taxpayers' money was being spent, you know, rather than sort of a global overview of how it was being spent. There was resistance to that. It culminated in a judicial review held in 2012, on which the judge ruled in 2013. The women had argued that they were entitled to a bespoke model of funding because their case was quite unique, and in fairness to them, it was quite unique. But at the end of the day, Justice Birmingham ruled and it said, look, there's no illegality attached into what the HSE is trying to do in introducing these service level agreements, so you have to go along with it. You know, subsequent to that, then the receipts started coming out. And, you know, there hadn't, prior to that, been a whole lot of explanation as to how individual bills were accrued. But after that, the receipts started coming in, and then the HSE would argue that it was then that it got seriously concerned.
And how much money did it get from the HSE over the years? That money started to be reduced, particularly in more recent times.
Well, I know that between, say, 2006 and 2011 or 12, I think they were getting over €500,000 a year. So they've definitely got quite a substantial amount of money from the HSE. And I mean, one could argue that, you know, they were infected by the state. There were repeated attempts by the state to cover up, you know, that they were liable for it. You know, families' lives were ruined, women's health were ruined. You could argue that, well, you know, maybe these women should have had carte blanche to spend the state's money, given, you know, the state had done what it did to them. But at the end of the day, I suppose, you know, taxpayers' money. People want some accountability coming in, and when people aren't satisfied that that's happening, then action has to be taken.
Catherine, thank you very much indeed for that analysis. That's Catherine Shanahan there. She is health correspondent with the Irish Examiner. Some of your